If you have a Bible, look with me at 2 Peter chapter 2. Lord, we thank you for this time together with each other as men, to spend time in your word, to consider your goodness, to consider all of the promises that you have for us. Lord, we want to be those men. We want to look like the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus. Lord, you. We want to be like you. And so we come today presenting our lives, our hearts, our minds to you for repair, for rebuke, for whatever you want to do with us. But Lord, we pray more than anything that you would encourage us and inspire us, Lord. When we look at you, we are so inspired. And yet, Lord, it seems like we're so far away from the mark. I pray that you bring us closer to that mark today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title of our series is Walking Straight in a Crooked World. Not an easy thing to do. First of all, I want to tell you what our series is not going to be. It will not be a series of lists that you can fail at. Let me hear that again. Say it again. It will not be a series of lists that you will fail at. One of the things that has really discouraged me through the years as a believer is taking notes, going through studies, and finding out more things that are wrong about me than I knew at the beginning. And so by the time you get to the end, you have a bigger job than you did before you came to the study. And when you're sitting there, you're going, yeah, that's right. I do that wrong too. Yeah, that's right. And I need to do that more. And I know that, yes, that's so true, preacher. Thanks for bringing that up. And I know my wife would say a hearty amen if she was here right now. In fact, I probably should write that down for my wife so she can say amen later. And then, yes, I know that my boss say yes. And it's just this constant. I don't know about you, but I am painfully aware of everything that I don't do well. And so you get halfway through the list of applying everything that you learned, and you find out by the time you get to the end, you're a bigger failure than you were when you started. This is not what this study is going to be. When you hear the title of the terms of spiritual disciplines, you think, uh-oh, did he mention discipline? Because, I'm not very disciplined, if I have to admit it. And the two guys of you who are disciplined in here, God bless you. Don't raise your hand because everybody will slash your tires in the parking lot when you're trying to leave. Now, what it will be is we want to give you some tools, some resources that will help you to get to the place you want to be. You can't fail at them. They're simply tools. It's like failing at putting on a pair of shoes. Well, I tried really hard all day and I just couldn't put those shoes on. If they're the right size, they fit and they help you. Think about it that way. We're going to give you equipment that's easy to put on, and it will be equipment that helps you get to the place that you want to be. Why? Because we want to see men who are walking straight and enjoying their lives. Enjoying the life that God has given to them. Not with heads down, completely discouraged, completely even more convicted than when they came to the Lord. But men who are seeing a change, enjoying the presence of Christ in their lives, and making a difference in their community. That's what we want to see. Now, if I want to see that, if we want to see that at the men's group and our leadership, let me tell you, God is more for you than anyone else in the world. If you think that you want to change, if you think that you want to see a difference in your life, if you think that you want to be the guy that walks straight in a crooked world, Jesus Christ's desire for you is even more so than any one of us. He has a greater desire for your happiness, for your fulfillment, for your joy than anyone else. And we will focus upon his resources and his loving kindness toward his sons this period. And in doing so, and really getting our mind upon the prize, our mind upon what things are real, we're going to be able to walk straight because we'll have our eyes set upon the truth. You know, it's a good statement that says, if you aim at nothing, you are sure to hit your target, right? If you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit your target. Where are you going? I don't know. Why are you going there? Well, my wife said I was supposed to. How do you plan to get there? I'm probably in the minivan. But where we really want to be is we'll put our eyes on where we want to be, and then we'll start charting a course there. First step of charting our course is being no longer satisfied with the status quo. There's a very famous book titled Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you guys have ever read it, saw it on the shelf, or actually heard the term? All of you just heard the title of the book, so you can raise your hand now. That's really good. A lot of you. Okay, in this book, John Bunyan writes about Christian, who's the main character. And Christian finds himself living in the city of destruction. And he becomes very vexed of spirit and completely bummed out, because he looks all around him and he sees that all of this will be destroyed, and it becomes completely unsatisfactory to him. And so because of that, he realizes he has to leave everyone and everything and set out on a journey. And the whole book, very simple story, it's not that long, centers around his journey through the world, heading toward, or leaving the city of destruction and heading toward the heavenly city or the celestial city, and all that he meets along the way. And so he flees, he runs, he's completely distraught because he realizes at some moment he had that moment of clarity that says, what I'm doing, how I'm living is not it. And I've got to go for something more. And so he heads out to the wicket gate, the famous wicket gate out by the edge of the city, and heads out toward the celestial city. For you and I, if you really want to walk straight in a very crooked world, you have to, first of all, number one, be dissatisfied with the status quo. If you like the regular chips on the couch lifestyle, and you're happy with the way things are, you'll never get up and go. You'll never get up and go. You'll constantly be in the flow of society. You'll be enjoying what society has to bring, never looking for the return of Jesus Christ, never dissatisfied with the way things are. And you begin to just rot. It is a process of rotting. And it is so easy for us. I tell you, my comfort level as I get older goes higher and higher and higher and higher. The things that I need in order to enjoy life, grow and grow and grow and grow. Well, I know that that's a 55-inch television, but honey, did you see the other day that they have one that will completely fit on your wall? I think we ought to do that for the kids. You know, that Learning Channel is really, and now Oprah's on there, and never mind. It's a joke. If any of you watch the Oprah Network, don't say it out loud, especially not in your small groups. Okay. Nothing's that bad, but it's a totally chick kind of thing, so that's all I'm saying. All right. Now, if you're satisfied with all of that, you're never going to get up and get out. But my guess is the reason that you're here on Saturday morning is because you're not satisfied. My guess is most of us in this room are not satisfied with the status quo of this world. It's not as tasteful. It's not as appealing. And the further we go and the more that we grow in Christ, we realize that there's no satisfaction there. And so I have to get up and leave. Second of all, is that there should be a desire for something more. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, even be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Once you are in Christ, there is a desire to change. Who puts that desire there? God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. You have a new birth in you. Because of that, you have a new spiritually genetic identity. And in having that identity within yourself, things begin to change within you. Now, how many of you here are tired of stumbling and making mistakes? Wow, quite a few of you. I wasn't going to raise my hand, but no, I actually was. I am very tired of it. We get weary of it. And why do you think that we do so? Primarily, it's because our eyes are on the wrong things. If your eyes are set where you really want to go, you'll make it there. One of the early driving lessons I was taught is that look where you want to go. You guys ever learn that? Because if you look where you want to go, your arms and the rest of your body will naturally go there. Same way with riding a motorcycle, walking down the street. You look where you want to go, and the rest of your body follows there. Same way with a spiritual walk. If you really know what you want, if you really know where you want to go, you set your eyes on that, and that's where you go. Problem is that we all have spiritual ADHD. We are easily distracted by everything. Oh, that was such a great message today. Thank you, Pastor Skip. It was so good. And then they walk outside and you see a brand new motorcycle. Wow, that has a lot of chrome. Maybe I'd have. And then pretty soon you're off down that road. You head a little bit further and then you're off to the next place to eat. And it goes on and on and on. Not that those things are necessarily bad, but we're so easily distracted because we live in a world that is so appealing. There are so many pleasures, so many temptations, so many grandiose ideas about how a man should be and how he should live, right? A man should be this way. A man should be a tower of industry. A man should be strong. A man should never cry. If you go into the Oprah show, a man should be very sensitive. Or however it may be. You know, everybody comes up with a plan for who you should be and what you should be. And by the time you make it home at night, you're completely confused. Who am I supposed to be? A lot of voices, a lot of ideas, a lot of images out there. But the image that we're given in Scripture is the only one that will take us to the place that our new spiritual genetic identity wants to be. You see, because if you've been born again in Jesus Christ, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and you have a spiritual nature in you that desires Christ, period. And it will never, ever, ever be satisfied with any of these substandard desires or goals. It will never be satisfied with them. Only satisfaction that will come in this life is continually the Spirit drawing us to the image of Jesus Christ and to the life that lies beyond. And as we set our eyes on that, the progress that you desire to make increases quickly. It multiplies, and you get there much faster. You get that point of setting your eyes. I want you to keep that in your mind as you leave here this week and you go throughout the week. Ask yourself this question. where are my eyes today? Because where my eyes are is where I'm going. Where are my eyes today? All right. Third thing in charting out our journey, a strategy for our change. We need a plan for change. There needs to be a shift in our value system. It's been called paradigm spirituality, and this is what it is. It's cultivating an eternal versus a temporal perspective. Cultivating an eternal perspective versus a temporal perspective. If you realize for just a few minutes that everything that we touch, everything that we see in this room, that we have on our body, the things that we wear, the things that we have at our house, all are temporal. That means that they don't have any eternal value. The only things in my house that have eternal value are the Word of God and my children, my family. Those are the things, those are the people. That's the one thing, the Word of God and the people that will actually have any value in eternity. Why? Because if they're in Christ, they go to heaven. They have, their souls are with the Lord. They have eternity within them. And in changing our mind and charting a new course, we have to realize that most of what we think of on a daily basis has to do with things that won't last and ultimately don't matter. Really. You know, there's an old saying that says, it's not wrong to have things. It is wrong for things to have you. You know what I mean? And the further that you go, I don't know, I'm going to get a hearty amen. When you're younger, you're thinking, boy, I'd like to have this certain house. I'd like to have this particular car because I could see myself with my gangster lean in this particular car. You know, or I want to have this kind of wife. I want this kind of career. And then you get to middle age a little further along and you say, all of the things that I wanted that I now have are killing me. Can I get an amen to that? I love having a house. Yeah. I would love to have some elves that lived at my house. I mean, I don't know what Santa's doing with them at the North Pole, but during the off season, they could come and paint and re-roof and do all of that. So it's just like, yeah, it's a really nice place, but all you do is spend your time taking care of something that in the judgment will be burned up like cinder. Now, we have to have a roof over our heads. I understand that. But the things that were once appealing, they're starting to fade. Why? Because we realize that the temporal brings no lasting joy. The temporal brings no lasting satisfaction. It is short-lived. It is fleeting. Again, I'm not telling you to go out and sell your house and go sleep in the church parking lot. It's cold out there. But I am saying that it is a generally accepted fact that as you get older, you realize that these things are not what really matters. And if we're going to head down the right road, we have to take on a new paradigm, a new way of thinking that says the things that are eternal are more important than the things that are temporal. That's all. The things that are eternal matter more to me than the things that are temporal. It is a life without distractions. It is the process of clearing your mind and focusing on what really matters in life. In fact, if you want to write something down or keep something in your mind, a great list for you to make out for you are the things that really matter most to you. And when you do so, it will probably have less to do with things that are temporal and things about relationships that you have, maybe some accomplishments that you've made in this life or want to make. It has little to do with the things that are surrounding you. Go ahead and make that list out and look at them and look at your value system. All right. It also helps us see what Jesus was talking about when he said, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven where neither moth nor rust can break in and destroy. You see, everything that we build in the invisible, and it is invisible. The kingdom of heaven for us, in one sense, we think about eternity. We think about being with God. We think about this place that none of us have ever seen. And yet we are building rewards, building things for eternity on a daily basis. The one way that you can see eternity, my friends, is the effect that your life makes on human beings in this world. The investment that you make in other men, the investment that you make into kids and to your community and people around you, you can see the immediate value in the change and the augmentation and the betterment of their lives. That's a given. You can see that. But we really can't see is what the rewards are and the true nature of the life beyond is. We live by faith in that respect. But we've got to make that change sometime. And as you do, everything speeds up and your joy speeds up incredibly. It's wonderful. Okay, fourth thing, process spirituality. It is being versus doing, or process versus product. In our culture, we are increasingly tend to be human doings rather than human beings, right? Most of us are human doings and not human beings. Why? Let me take it for instance. Usually we identify ourselves by what we do rather than who we are, right? Someone comes up and talks to you and says, "Hi, my name's Dave." First question out of the mouth, "What do you do?" "Well, I work at a church." "Where do you work?" "What do you do?" That is usually the question. That's usually how we identify ourselves, right? Oh, so, okay, your work as a sound engineer, you're a cameraman, do various things. It really doesn't matter to us. We want to find out what a person is doing. In real changing your mind paradigm and making a difference, there has to be a shift in your mind that says, it's more important of who I am and the process in my life than what I am doing. You get that? It's who you are is more important than what you are doing. Okay? For instance, if we changed a little bit and said, "Who are you?" Instead of asking a person, "What do? Who are you?" "Well, I'm a Christian. That's the most important identity that I have in my life. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a friend." The things that really matter to you are those issues, who you actually really are. But yet we spend most of our time doing and identifying ourselves with what we do. Okay. True spiritual growth is a process. We always look at the product at the end, but really, the most important thing about being a believer is the process. And here's what I mean. Growing in the image of Jesus Christ is the process and the product. Growing into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the process, the process of growth and maturity, but it is also the product. God Himself will perfect you. God Himself, one in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed and you will be like Christ. But in this life, we are going through a process that theologians call sanctification. Yes, we've been bought by Jesus Christ. We have a new spiritually genetic identity. And we are forgiven of our sins. But until the moment that we are called home, or we die, or we breathe our last breath, we're in the process of sanctification. And that is being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't happen immediately. Birth happens immediately, but a baby doesn't go from just in the maternity ward to fourth year at Yale University in a matter of a week, right? Or instantaneously. There is a long process of growth through that period. And if you're going to be realistic and honest with yourself. You can mark the time that you came to Christ and realize that there has been a lot of growth in my life from that point to where I am right now. And there will be more growth as you continue on in Christ in the future. So, if we're going to have a paradigm shift in our spirituality, we have to realize it's not what we do at our work and our office that identifies who we are. It is the process of being transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that really, really identifies who you are. What you do should reflect that relationship and how you relate to other people and how you perform at your job and the ethics that you possess as you live out this life in Christ. At the same time, the most important thing about you is that you are a person who is being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. I see the look on some of your faces like, I never really thought of it like that before. Well, that's it. Your identity in Christ is the single most important thing in your life. Either you're in Christ or you're not. If you're not, if you're not a believer, you're not in Christ. If you're not in Him, you're lost. But if you're in Christ, your identity, old things are passed away. All the processes that you see here on this earth shadow are our shadows. And they cast a very dim light in comparison to who you are in the eyes of the living God. Okay, you got that? Makes sense? Okay, so we have a shift from the temporal to the eternal. Our eyes are on what's coming in the future. And there's also a needed shift from doing and what we do on this earth to a shift of exactly who we are and where we're going. All right? All right. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, back up at the top of the chapter. I want you to see the provisions that God has made for this journey for you and I. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Let me read verse 3 again. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He, by His divine power, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life, the possession of life, not only corporeally in this body, but spiritually, eternally. Through Jesus Christ, He's given you everything you need, you possess already in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All of these promises have been given to us so that we begin to live and enjoy the divine nature that is in Christ. Now, when I think of myself, the last thing that I think of is divinity. Divinity is a great candy that I used to eat around Christmas time. But me being connected to anything divine, other than, you know, the first date that I went out with my wife and she looked divine that evening. Other than that, me be connected to divine? Yes. 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 You are children of the living God. You have an identity from the living God, and you have eternity, as we are told in Scripture, has been placed within our hearts. Eternity. A portion of the divine nature exists within